Shalom, this is Gamliel Shmalo. Divrei Hayamim 1, chapters 23 through 25, continue David's planning for the temple's organization. In the first verse of chapter 22, which was really the end of chapter 21, David had concluded that the threshing floor of Arauna HaYivusi would be the place of the temple. But it wasn't until the beginning of our chapter 23, when David reached ripe old age, that he turned his attention to human resources, planning the organization of the temple bureaucracy, starting with the organization of the Levites. Chapter 24 brings us to the division of the Kohanim, the priestly caste, into 24 families of Kohanim, and chapter 25 returns us to the Levites. Now, these chapters seem pretty technical, a little dry. In some ways, it reads kind of like a telephone book, which is not so interesting, you know, unless you come across a name that you happen to know. But I think these chapters are very important in that they are an excellent example of several themes that we have been encountering while reading through Divrei Hayamim. So, first of all, it continues the process of the development of a rational bureaucracy in what is no longer a hodgepodge of tribes led by a temporary judge, or even led by some mercurial king. This was a process that we saw very clearly at the end of chapter 18, as David established not just himself as a king, but David established a kingdom, a full government, as we saw him, quote, executing judgment and justice among all his people. He appointed Yoav, the minister of defense, and Yehoshaphat, the government secretary, Tzadok and Avimelech, the Kohanim, effectively appointed them ministers of religion. Shavshah was the scribe, Benayahu ben Yehoyada, we could call him the head of the secret service, and the sons of David were the chief ministers. And now we have Kohanim and Levi'im divided into roles and weekly shifts. Chapter 23 tells us about the roles of the Levi'im: officers and judges, gatekeepers, musicians, and those who were appointed Lanatzeach al Melechet Beit Hashem, which is a somewhat ambiguous phrase. According to Ralbag, this job is to run the ongoing temple operations, whether it is taking care of the physical plant or preparing the items that would eventually be offered by the Kohanim, like baking the breads, or measuring the oil, measuring the wine. However, according to the Jerusalem Talmud in Psachim, and it's brought in the Metzudat Zion, this was the choir, which would be actually the largest group at 24,000 singers, divided into 24 watches, or weekly shifts, as is detailed in this week's chapter 25. Chapter 24, and this is a useful mnemonic device, similarly talks about the 24 mishmarot, the watches, the shifts of the Kohanim. According to the rabbis, the members of each mishmar would be in charge of performing the daily temple service for 1 week until the changing of the guard, which would be on Shabbat. During festivals, Kohanim would be called to action from all 24 mishmarot. According to the rabbis, this was actually just one stage in the development of the priestly divisions. The Jerusalem Talmud Ta'anit explains that Moshe had previously instituted 8 watches, 4 from the family of Eleazar and 4 from the family of Itamar. Then David, together with Shmuel, added another 8, 4 from Eleazar and 4 from Itamar. We are told that they wanted to add another 8 to bring them to our total of 24, but there were not enough for Itamar, so the family of Eleazar pulled ahead. The Talmud quotes our chapter, quote, "It was found that the descendants of Eleazar were more than the heads of the descendants of Itamar." By the way, the Jerusalem Talmud goes on to say that only 4 of these watches returned from the diaspora during the Second Temple. So, in the early days of the Second Temple, the prophets among them, perhaps Haggai and Zechariah, maybe Ezra, took the initiative and cast 24 lots, so that these four families divided themselves again into 24 groups once again. So the number 24 is very important, and we can speculate why. So the first theme that I want to point out is the rationalization of David's kingdom and its bureaucracy, and that rationalization is now being extended in these chapters even into the functioning of the temple itself and into the human resources. The second major theme that I'd like to point out is brought home by the emphasis placed on the Levim in these chapters, the fact that they were divided into 24 mishmarot, just like the Kohanim, and especially the emphasis placed on their musical role. This highlighting of the Levim as crucial partners in the divine service reinforces a theme that we've been seeing in Divrei HaYamim of the spiritualization of worship. Remember, back in chapter 6, we saw how, quote, David set Levites over the service of song in the house of God after the ark had rest. And similarly, in chapter 16, we saw how when the ark was brought to Jerusalem, quote, then David appointed Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to invoke and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Now, this is while the altar, the Mizbeach, was still in Givon, meaning that a parallel form of worship was being developed, alongside, but sometimes even separate from, the Kohanim's divine service of sacrifice, there would be a divine service of song, something like our post-destruction synagogues, but in an embryonic form. So that second theme is this spiritualization of worship, the idea of worshiping God not just through the sacrifice, animal sacrifice, but worshiping God through song and prayer and praise. Thirdly, Sarah Yefet points out that these chapters give the clear impression that the temple service in all its details, including the bureaucracy surrounding who was to work and when they were to work, all of that was thought out, planned, and dictated before being put into practice. Divrei HaYamim wants us to know that the institutions that we find in Israel are not the result of some gradual evolution, but rather they are the expression of a divine plan carefully executed by David and his team. As David will summarize at the end of this process, at the end of chapter 28, speaking to his son Shlomo, quote, all this that God made me understand by his hand on me, I give to you in writing, the plan of all the works. And he will continue, quote, here are the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all kinds of service of the house of God. My teacher, Rachel Elior, further explains that this plan is so tightly controlled because it is a projection on earth of an ordered heaven and the realm of the angels. The Kohanim in particular are the guardians of holy spaces and holy times. Their fixed weekly rotation, together with their fixed daily, weekly, and seasonal offerings, make them part of an eternal cycle. The careful choreography, accompanied by angelic music, mirrors the unchanging heavens, where constellations rise and constellations set in their mathematically fixed patterns, glorifying their creator in their chambers. In the heavens, the angels dance and say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And here too on earth, and particularly in the rarefied environment of the temple, we too dance on our toes saying Kadosh, Kadosh. And just as there are holy chambers above made by God, so are there holy chambers below made by man, guarded by man, and filled by man with song. Ubehechalo kulo omer kavod.